It was the sound of a shofar that woke him. Everybody here know what a shofar is? It's a ram's horn, right? Sometimes it's a much bigger horn from a kudu. The small horns can make two sounds. The big horns can make 6 to 8 different sounds. They were used for all different types of notices and warnings in Israel. That morning in Jerusalem at 3 a.m., the sound of the fourth watch, a single blast, and it startled him from his sleep. He lay there for a moment in the darkness, organizing his thoughts, letting his mind come fully awake. Every year at this time, he had made his way to Jerusalem. His job was to serve in the temple, but now he was approaching 50 years of age. Soon he would have to retire. Levitical law required that at the age of 50, those in the priesthood would no longer serve. They would just desist. He rose from his bed, he slipped on his cloak, and I think as he went out the door, he thought this, "O Lord, if it be your will, please smile on your servant today." Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Our text is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 22. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abiah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as a priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And while the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you this morning to open our eyes to see you in a new way today. Open our ears to hear what you would have us hear. And open our hearts to receive the message that you have laid on my heart. Lord, I ask you to take a coal from off your altar and touch my lips. I ask you to cleanse me, purify me, for I am unworthy to stand here behind this sacred desk. Lord, I ask you to anoint me by your Holy Spirit, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Zechariah had become a priest at the age of 30. His time of service was almost complete. At that time in Israel, there were 18,000 priests in the priesthood. They were divided into 24 divisions. You can go to 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and read it. Zechariah's division was the division of Abiah. It was eighth in the rotation. The priests and their families could either live in Jerusalem or they could live in villages nearby. Or when their time was come, they could travel from all over Israel and make their way for their time of service before the Lord. Each division was called up to duty twice during the year. They served for 2 weeks at a time. 50 priests in the temple on any given day. 350 priests on duty for the two-week period. When Zechariah and his kinsmen arrived at the temple, his group was divided into 7 additional groups of priests, each one assigned to a single day to serve in the temple. When that shofar sounded at 3 a.m., it was their job to get up and begin the process of purification so that they were ready to serve when the second blast took place at 6 a.m. They purified themselves by bathing just outside the temple. They washed themselves, and then they put on tunics made of linen, woven from a single piece of cloth with no seams, preparing themselves for service before the Lord. Once they were purified, they stood, they waited. At that second blast, there was the drawing of lots for who would serve in the temple itself. That drawing of lots could be done in different ways. It was used for a lot of decision-making at the time. It could either be done by straw or it could be done with stones. Sometimes it was done with names on little pieces of wood in a box. That was usually what was done at the temple. Now there's 7 from all of those that are waiting to know what their service will be in the temple. Whether they will be in charge of placing things for the sacrifices, preparing the different articles within the temple, or if they'll be chosen for the offering of incense. Everything is in place. All the preparation is done. And at 9 a.m., there are 3 blasts from that trumpet. All of Jerusalem knows that morning worship is about to begin. The doors of the beautiful gate are swung open. I've talked about these before in Bible study. That gate was magnificent. Its face was covered with Corinthian brass. It was so heavy, it took 20 men to open each side. Once those doors were open, thousands upon thousands of Israelites streamed into the courtyard to prepare for the service. Gentiles were only allowed in the outer court. Women had a specific court where they went. Men could enter on the main level or on the level of the colonnade. Once the main doors were opened, then the doors to the sanctuary itself were open. That building was 30 feet wide and 60 feet long, 30 feet high, and it contained the holy place and the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant resided. When everything was ready, those 7 men stood on the steps. The high priest reached in to draw the lot. See, here's the thing. You could only pour the incense on the altar one time in your life unless you were the high priest. Once you were chosen, your name could never be drawn again. Zechariah had served for almost 20 years, and his name had never been chosen. I think he stood there with his head bowed, praying, "Today, Lord, let it be today that I can serve you." The high priest reached in his hand. He drew out the name, Zechariah. I think there were tears in his eyes. Joy, knowing that it was his opportunity. There were two altars that you had to pass in order to reach the veil. The first one was massive, built of brass. It's set out in the courtyard, 5 cubits by 5 cubits by 5 cubits, with great horns on all four corners, filled with a raging fire, that they would take the sacrifice and heave upon the coals, and it would be consumed before the Lord. There was another altar, the altar of incense. It stood just before the veil. In a building just about this long, there was a veil 30 feet high. That's how tall it is to the top of the ceiling. 30 feet wide, the thickness of a man's hand. And it separated God and the Ark of the Covenant from those who were to proclaim his name and offer sacrifices for worship. That altar was about chest high, 1.5 cubits by 1.5 cubits, made of acacia wood and covered in pure gold. Zechariah stood on the steps of the temple, another trumpet blast, signifying the fact that the incense was to be offered. When that happened, all those thousands of Israelites in the courtyard fell silent. His assistant walked to that great altar and scooped coals to be carried inside. He strode up and stood beside Zechariah, and together they entered. They walked across the room, the one carrying the live coals, Zechariah carrying incense. Those coals were taken and put into the altar of incense. Around the top of that altar was a lattice work that contained those coals. And then the spoon of solid gold was handed to him. The assistant knelt and then laid himself prostrate before the veil. And then quietly, slowly, he rose and backed his way to the door. The high priest then would give the command, and everyone would back away from the temple. Then Zechariah took the incense, and he sprinkled it on the coals. A mixture of resins, frankincense, myrrh, the cloud ignited. The room filled with the fragrance and the cloud. And then he bowed his head to pray as the prayers of the people lifted themselves towards Almighty God. It was an awesome event. Everything you do as a priest, that you have the opportunity for once in your lifetime to stand in the presence of Almighty God on just the other side of the veil and bow your head and pray alone with God. Think about that. His eyes are closed. He's saying his prayers. He opens his eyes, and on the right side of that altar stands the archangel Gabriel. Would that scare you? It scared him. Scripture says he was frightened great fear came upon him. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, and he will be great before the Lord. Zechariah was stunned. It caught him off guard. How shall I know this? He says. As I was working on this last night, it's interesting to me. Mary asked a question when the angel came to her. He told her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and she would bear the Christ child. And she said, "How can this be, seeing I am a virgin?" Here's the difference between the two questions. One was made out of wonder from stating the facts. Zechariah's statement requested proof. How shall I know? How can I be sure? The answer comes in verse 20. I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God and I was sent to speak to you, and behold, you will remain silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. It was immediate. There was not time for him to say, but. He was mute like that. Luke says time passed. The people, the thousands gathered, began to get worried because he tarried inside the temple. We don't know why it took so long. The conversation recorded only takes a few seconds to read. But you're going to have to indulge me for a minute, because I think something wonderful happened inside that temple that day. Scripture says Zechariah was a righteous man. He and his wife had served God with all their hearts, all their lives. He's standing before the altar of incense. He's less than 3 feet from the veil that separates him from Almighty God. He's mute and unable to speak, but I think as he stands there in his presence, something in his heart changes. I think at that moment, he understands and he believes. He's standing in front of Jehovah. I think he has a moment to contemplate. This is the one that has delivered us from the Egyptians. This is the one who parted the Red Sea. This is the one who made the walls of Jericho fall flat. This is the one who made the sun stand still when Joshua requested it. This is the one who shut the lions' mouths when Daniel needed to be rescued. This is the one that had refused to let the fiery furnace consume Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is the one who had promised that the messenger would come. This was the one who had been silent for 400 years until today. The last time the children of Israel had heard the voice of God, it was when Malachi proclaimed the righteous one of Israel, and then God went silent for 400 years. But on that day, inside the temple, in the center of Jerusalem, in the citadel, on the mountain, the angel Gabriel stood. I love what he says when Zechariah asked the question, how do I know? And Gabriel says, I'm the archangel that stands in the presence of Almighty God. It tickles me because he didn't have to travel far. God was on the other side of the curtain. See, we read the story and it can go by so fast that we don't realize the proximity within which they're operating. It's just like you and me today. We pray, we fall on our knees, we ask God to do something for us. We wonder where he is in the conversation. He's right here. We can't see him because there is a veil that separates him from us. But his son has made a way. I think as he stood there and it dawned on him the magnitude of the God he served, belief rose in his heart, and when he turned and he walked out that door, he couldn't speak, but with the gestures of his hands, they knew he had seen a vision and he was changed. 9 months went by. He never spoke. He had finished his work in the temple and he had headed for home. He sat there for those 9 months and he watched and he waited and he prayed and he believed. Oh, how much God wants us to trust him. Oh, how much he wants us to know and understand he's on our side. When everything seems impossible in your job, in your family, in your home life, in whatever is going on around you, it seems impossible for him to work on your behalf, and yet he is. We have to hold on to what we know to be true, and we have to believe. 9 months of quiet, 9 months of listening. 9 months later, Elizabeth gives birth to a little boy. The neighbors start calling him Zachariah. Elizabeth insists that his name is to be John. The neighbors have come from all around the countryside. They begin to argue with her. Zachariah is just sitting. He's mute. He's not deaf. He can hear what's going on. Finally, they bring him a tablet, and he writes on it, "His name is John." Verse 67, "And he, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied." I can see him get up, walk across the room, and pick up that little boy. Look into his eyes. This is the little boy. Can you imagine this? When you pick up your child, you have no idea what God has planned for him. He picked that little boy up that would be the one who would proclaim Christ was coming. He would be the first one to say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." He looks toward heaven and he begins to sing, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." Not only was his voice restored, but his heart was overjoyed by what God had done. He sings of the horn of salvation, the power of its saving purpose. He sings of how God spoke by the mouth of the prophet, holy prophets of old, 400 times in the Old Testament. It is either prophesied or spoken of that he will come, that he will live, that he will die, and that he will rise again. He sings of God's amazing deliverance from all our enemies. Not just the nation of Israel being delivered from those who held them captive. He was singing about the destruction of all those enemies that had held all of us. Sin, death, and hell. He sings of the mercy promised to our fathers and how God remembered his holy covenant to the father Abraham, to grant that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all our days. And then he looks in that little boy's eyes and he begins to prophesy about John. "And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. What a name for Jesus Christ. Sunrise. To give light to those who sit in darkness. Peace for those in fear. Joy instead of despair, and holiness and righteousness instead of sin and death. I would have been on my chair. For those of you that are in Wednesday night Bible studies, I have a tendency to sometimes stand on my chair. Zechariah stood there, holding his child above his head, and he proclaimed the sunrise of heaven was rising. The dawn of the ages was breaking. The Savior long promised was coming. And Zechariah believed. Zechariah and Elizabeth had sought the Lord, and God had answered their prayer beyond their imaginations. He had chosen their son to be the messenger to proclaim the coming Christ. They had asked for a child, and God gave them a voice crying in the wilderness. How many times Zechariah had read it. I think about that. 20 years he was a priest. 20 years he's in a little village out in the desert, a little synagogue, wherever they were. He would take that scroll. They often read from the book of Isaiah. He would roll it out and he would begin to read. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough place a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Zechariah had no idea, as he stood in the temple that day, just a few feet from the veil, that as he sprinkled the incense on the coals of that altar and the smoke began to rise, as the prayers of the people were lifted to heaven, that God in His mercy would speak to him. He had no idea that by faithfully doing God's will day after day throughout all of his life, that he would be a part of God's plan to save the world. His wife Elizabeth was part of God's plan. His unborn son was already a part of God's plan. I'll rephrase. His unconceived child was already a part of God's plan. God had anointed that boy. Well, from conception, it says, in his mother's womb, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Zechariah learned to believe, and so must we. You see, the name Zechariah means God remembers. And he did. 400 years went by, and God remembered his people. And he remembered his promises, and he fulfilled the prophecies of old. He will always keep his word. He did to Zechariah, and he does for us. He will always do what he says he will do. All we have to do is believe. Let's stand.